Hi guys, you're welcome to another episode of my podcast. It's nice to have you here. So yeah, I have a guest by the name of Cicero. So I would allow him to tell him a little bit about himself, then we'll get started. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for inviting me to be a guest on your podcast. I'm not really want to talk about myself, but I would just say I've been called a disruptor. And it's a term I've come to embrace about myself, mostly because I'm comfortable in organized chaos. I would rather be the person behind the camera as a director rather than a star of a major show, a kingmaker rather than a king. I would also call myself a creative, and I like to take on new adventures. In fact, that's what I live for. So basically, that summarizes who I am.
Wow, it's so nice to get to know you. You have a very interesting personality. So let's get started. So my first question is, how do you decide what your next role should be?
Okay, I know this would sound contrarian, but I personally believe you do not just wake up and decide, oh, this is going to be my next role. It's not a sort of thing you just wake up to do. It's something that you probably would have been doing all your life, and it all boils down to the existential question: what am I meant to do? What was I born to do? That's about purpose. So if you think about it, when you are 80 or 90 at the end of your life and you look back, what would you have said you came into this world to do? Basically, our expectations, that's the ones we make of ourselves, will sometimes drive us crazy, mostly because we focus on what we want to do as against who we truly can be. That's focus on the what instead of the who. We focus on or idealize a position or role and forget that it's only a means to an end. So what is your end game? That for me is the greatest determinant of what my next role should be, what I should be doing next. Like I said, when all is said and done and you are at your life's end, what will matter the most to you? And it's what I call the mortality motivation. So if you are able to clarify your purpose, if you play a finite game as against playing an infinite game, by a finite game, I mean you are competing against somebody else. So when you compete against somebody else and you win, what next for you? But when you compete against yourself, when you are trying to make yourself better, you are playing an infinite game, and that's tied to your purpose. And of course, that essentially will lead to what your next role should be. So it makes more sense winning a game against yourself as against winning a game against somebody else.
Thank you very much for that. So that being said, what steps do you think one can take to prepare for their next role?
I think it's simple. How many people don't get it? Simple. Become a better you. Develop yourself. Never stop growing. Build your network. Build your value capital. Build your soft and hard skills. Pay attention to what's important in the career line that you have chosen to pursue. Practice by taking on responsibilities. You don't need to have the formal title of a leader thrust on you before you begin to exert yourself. There are things that only experience can teach you. And when I talk about experience, I'm not just referring to 5 years, 10 years, all the things you've done over years. No, the things you do today, the things you've done yesterday, the things you do tomorrow, they will all gather together and form what's called your experience. You'll be shocked at where it comes in handy. If you've ever heard of the 360-degree leader, then try to be one. Because when the opportunity comes for you to assume your next role, or assume more responsibility, you will know in the deepest part your soul that you are ready. So like I said, take on projects, lead, look for a problem around you. There's never shortage of one problem. Find it, solve it, make a habit to find problems and creatively come up with solutions, and you'll be ready for your next role when it comes up.
Thank you very much for that. That is very insightful. So I've heard people often complain about visibility and how they struggle to be visible because they're probably in the midst of so many other people that are seen as potential for the same role they want to go for. So how can one be visible for that next role that we have in mind?
By being valuable, by creating value, by being the one everybody runs to when they need solutions. Not confuse noise with visibility. Not confuse value with visibility. Talking about visibility, the truth is that in every organization, there are always those who are extra on eye service. There are those who are always full of sound or wind. They make a lot of noise, but ultimately they are useless when it comes to things getting done, things getting fixed. Everybody knows them, and they are the life of the party, so to speak. But here's the big but. When their names are thrown up in leadership meetings, where people are looking for those who can solve problems, these guys are never ever called to the forefront. You can't fake competence. You might deceive a few people, but if you don't have it truly, you don't have it. However, if you are known, even if it's quietly, for being a go-getter, a fixer, a solution provider, if you are known as the one who gets the job done, then you become visible even without your own knowledge, and not in the way many people see visibility. So like I always say, you don't need to be vested in the formal title of authority to be a leader. Step up to it and become one. And that's the best way to be visible.
Thank you. I really hope you're taking notes, guys. So say you've passed all of these hurdles and now you are in front of the hiring manager. How do you convince the hiring manager that you are the right person for the role?
Again, this speaks to value. And you can build up your value capital by speaking to what you have done, your experiences, your track record. Now, how do you articulate this? Again, you need to realize that when it comes to your next role, it is never about you as a person. The hiring manager doesn't have to know you. He doesn't have to like you. It's more about what you have to offer to him, to the organization. So take, for instance, someone like me who is a car aficionado and I hate seeing scratches in my car. I choose to go and spray my car. And there's no shortage, of course, of spray painters around. What am I going to consider if I choose the person who's going to spray my vehicle? Is it going to be based on likability? Is it going to be based on proximity? Is it going to be based on the fact that he's my friend? Absolutely not. What I'll be looking for is evidence of expertise and ability. And in some cases, these guys who I'm trying to sample for their expertise will have to show it to me in clear terms. I want to see a job that they have done. So for you as a person, you need to speak about situations that you have been involved in. You have to speak about situations that you've handled that has added value, where you've shown resourcefulness, where you showcase your undeniable abilities. And in speaking, do not speak in the abstract. Of course, whatever you say must be relevant to the role that you are interviewing for. But I'm taking it for granted that you have researched the role properly and you understand the job description. And in addition, you understand what the manager is likely to be looking for. So speak about the things that you have done that are relevant to the role in practical terms that the person who is hiring you can relate with and cannot disprove.
So it's not news that for certain people, after they have gotten this role that they've always wanted, they become oblivious of what to do. So what are the first set of things you have to do when you get that role?
Now this is a tricky one. Tricky for me because there's no single cap that fits all sizes here. It depends on what the role is. So I would like to just focus on one thing, and that's what I call the big picture. Now capture it this way. Write your vision, make it plain. He who reads it can run with it. In simple terms, you need to have goals. So when you just assume a role, the first thing you think about is what you want to achieve. Long term, medium term, short term. Write it down, and it will keep you firmly grounded and focused on the job you have at hand. When your vision and thoughts are written down, they begin to solidify, and it helps you make a path towards accomplishing it. So if you go into a football field and there are no goalposts, and you start kicking the ball around and around, of course, you're going to end up achieving nothing. you wouldn't have scored any goal. You just tire yourself out. And that's the same thing for somebody who takes on a new role without having a plan of action, without having a goal in mind as to what he wants to achieve. And that's why we have a lot of people talking about first 100 days in office, to try and track and adjust to see where you are coming from and where you are headed. So the first and major thing is you need to put a goal. Secondly, if you are in a leadership role, it is very important that you communicate clearly to those who you lead and get them to buy into your strategic direction. So for me, those are the major things you should do when you get into your next role.
How can we overcome the unqualified mindset?
So, it will shock you to know or realize that a lot of people who are in positions of authority or positions of leadership, they still have doubts. What we call this, they have self-doubts as to their abilities to handle the position that they are in. And so it's not strange for you to feel that way, including people who are CEOs. So what you need to do to try and get rid of that unqualified mindset is to understand what the requirements are for your role. And if you see that you are lacking in either a few areas or many areas, what you can do is look for resources, research, look for mentors, look for people who have handled that role before, and have conversations with them. Develop yourself, read, grow yourself, grow the breadth of your skill, and then it will help to shake away the feeling of, well, not being qualified, and to help you firmly assert yourself in the role you find yourself. You can't just sit down there and expect that, oh, things will just fall into place without doing something about it. You need to go out there and look for the things, the resources that you require to be able to enable you handle the role that you find yourself in. Because trust me, a lot of people figure that way. But so that's not strange. What becomes what you should never do is settle down and then say things will come to you. No, develop yourself, find ways to make yourself better in that role, and then assert yourself there.
Thank you very much for your time. This has been a very deep session, and I appreciate you as a person and also your time. So guys, if you have questions for him, you can send me an email at nigerianbossady@gmail.com, or just go to Instagram and send me a DM at nigerianbossady. Or you can also find the session on my feed on Instagram and post your comments or your question, and I'm sure he's going to say it. So thank you very much, guys, for seeing this. Don't forget to subscribe. And also, if you feel that there's anybody that needs to hear this, please feel free to share. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.